It's hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And also, that was another element that I wanted to explore too, because I talked about the sort of parallels here between the psychiatric, psychotic industry and the super soldier programs. And just thinking, there must be many people who have not managed to retain sanity, as it were, as you ladies have. Have you encountered or heard stories of people who've been completely and utterly destroyed by these programs, just incapable of operating as regular human beings can?
This is Melinda. Can you guys hear me? This is Melinda.
Yes, Melinda.
Oh, good. I wasn't sure if I was unmuted. Thank you. First off, I'll answer what you just said, which is yes. And in my research, I've dealt with people that have all sorts of emotional problems, and that can come and go. For instance, I'm sure Misha is probably chomping at the bit to say something here, because she herself is an example of someone that had a lot of, not so much psychological problems, but had problems with this in such a way, and that required her to actually pull out of the field or pull out of, you know, being public about it for quite a while. I'm sure Niara could address this too for her background. And but I'm just saying, in the research, that this is really common, that some people do have a worse time with it. I know some people that have turned to alcoholism because of their involvement, other drug use, psychiatric care, extreme alternative lifestyle stuff. Some people, the most common thing is people get oversaturated and they just withdraw from having anything to do with the subject. And I know quite a few people that have had that happen because it's overwhelming. So, I think, Lorianne said something very brilliant earlier when she said, and I agree wholeheartedly, that you have to make that strong decision if you're going to look into this and explore it and be willing to say, from now on, I'm going to have a new life. And I mean, I know myself, Misha, Niara, my guess is Alara too, even though I've not met her before, I can tell from her story. So, you know, that we have all done that, and that is such a brilliant grasp of what it takes. And Lorianne, that was extremely insightful for you to say that. I applaud you. But the other thing I wanted to add, are we still here?
Yes.
Okay, good. I wasn't hearing anything. The other thing I really wanted to say is I'm realizing, as we're all sharing our stories, we have, and I think this show together came together brilliantly. First off, it's a women's show, which is great. Not that that's necessary, but we, the five of us, represent different phases of this process, and it really it has become very clear to me, and I can relate it directly to at least my research, that on one hand, like, for instance, I come at this as I'm an alien abductee who had my lab experiences because of being an alien abductee. Misha, I think, it was first a mind control person, you know, with a mind control background, then finding out she was alien abductee, and then my lab. And I just want to say that every one of us, all five processes I've seen in many, many cases. So to have an alien abductee who then gets involvement with the covert op stuff, and then they have a mind control person who then later finds out they're an alien abductee who then also has the covert ops involvement. Then you have Niara, who was in the military, and from being in the military, then, yes, discovered alien abduction, but then also the covert ops involvement. But it came from being in the military first, you know, I'm saying, so it's like coming from alien abduction, coming from mind control, coming from a military background. And then Alara, who, again, in the military, but then became in the more classic sense of super soldier, that I think the training that was derived from people like myself, Misha Niar, and other cases I have, I think Alara sounds like it's a perfect example of someone where they've taken that training they've derived from people like us and then are using someone and training them and applying it to someone. And I think Niara crosses that boundary from, obviously, I mean, Niara, you had come to this by being in the military, to finding out you're an abductee, to finding out about the Milo, but then it came full circle for you to also being used in the program. And then they kind of shortcutted that to Alara, who then went straight into the program. And then, on the other hand, we have Lorianne, who's someone who's just discovering she has these memories, is in the beginning process. Now, I don't know, Lorianne, if you have a military background. I haven't picked that up in anything you've said. But if you came to it from, were you an alien abductee who then figured out, were you a mind control who then figured out, and you're the discovery process where you're going to find out what your chain of events was. But I just have found it so interesting that we have like five different unfoldments of the process in each of our stories. And I hope that brings clarity to the audience, even though it may seem very confusing. All these different ways that someone could be in the military and have this happen, that someone could be an abductee and get used in the program, that someone could be involved in mind control as a child and get used in the program, or that someone could be, and I know many cases of people who are in the military who are then like recruited into the program from there, much like Alara, or in the case of Niara, that also applies to her. So we have a crossover here and a good cross-section of how this happens and people can be involved in these programs. And many people get involved, like Alara, into that whole aspect that is the paranormal aspect, the psi component, the remote viewing, the psychokinesis and telekinesis, that whole aspect. And I think that's one of the things they're learning from the people who are the abductees. And yet there's people who are fully involved in this program who have no alien component. And then there's people who their alien component doesn't come up into it till much later. But I'm just saying, I think it's really great that we've had a cross example amongst this group demonstrating the complexity and the way that this can unfold in someone's life. I just wanted to add that.
You know, yeah, and I'd like to add with that too. I listened some time ago to a interview with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, and Mark Phillips mentioned the standardized testing process in schools, where you take the little pencil and you black out the little section that's supposed to lead the right answer. So anyway, the standardized testing that we were all put through in school, there may be responses in those tests that mark a child for this kind of activity. You know, like if you're intuitive, if something in your test shows that you're an intuitive person, they may earmark that person and say, okay, this person could be good to use for our purposes in this way or that way. And I think that's another way that children get marked and pulled into these programs.
Funny. So an induction, is there some kind of, what was I going to say? It's like occult ritual abuse, okay? You grant people special abilities at the end of this ritual, but you damage that person so that you can continue to control them. And then you make them forget that it happened so that they can't come back at you, okay? But I don't think even the people who are conducting these rituals really understand the potential or the capacity of the human mind or the human spirit yet.
Not at all. I don't think they expected us to get better. I really, honestly, I think they believed that we would not come through this at all. And funny enough, I was just thrown into the military because they wanted to see how well I did. And then they popped one of my implants in an MRI machine, and I started remembering who I was. But they knew what I was from, I think, the very beginning when I was born at Stanford Research Hospital. So I was brought in specifically for certain things, because I had my first out-of-body experience when I was one and a half, two years old, that I remember when I cracked my head open, was stuck in the hospital, and then I died. I almost died when I drowned and was out of my body again. So I think these things happened as they're like watching me to see what happens. Then they're like, oh, how about you go in the military? Because the military wasn't my idea. I hung out with a bunch of military intelligence people since I was 15, 14 years old, because I couldn't stand people my own age. So I was already indoctrinated into the military intelligence community at that point. And then they're like, oh, why don't you just go in? And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. Just to see if it'd work. But it didn't. And I was only in for a very short period of time until I got out very easily, and then was then just by suggestion from certain people to move to certain parts of the country for a little while at a couple years at a time.
It sounds like somebody's playing with your life.
And this is Melinda again. I just want to also add exactly that, you know, and Alara, you know, I think you were cutting in and out a little bit, at least over my phone, but I also think, you know, that idea to join the military could have been something that idea was kind of given to you, because I have found that in cases, too, where people are influenced to actually follow that path because they want them eventually in that program. But another thing, so yes, I agree with what Niara is saying regarding the school testing and stuff being maybe one of the ways. There's probably multiple ways, but one thing I do know also, in a majority of the cases of people who have these kinds of things, whether it's the super soldier stuff, the mind control stuff, the alien abduction, or any crossover activity in those various areas, is it runs in families. And it tends to be that certainly the intuitive abilities runs in the family, the alien abduction runs in families, the mind control stuff runs in families. And so I think that they're, you know, looking for people with those backgrounds, those abilities, and again, studying it in families, because I have found, you know, consistently that this goes back generations in people's families. So I think that's another aspect. I think, you know, there's multiple ways they could know and watch and follow individuals to find those individuals that are of the ilk that they want, that are of either the abilities or the training or the experience, you know. But I, in other words, it's probably a little of all of the above.
Now, you also mentioned, Melinda, that Misha would be chomping at the bit to cut in here. Misha?
Well, yes, actually. We were talking about how people don't make it through. In my support groups that I've had since 1992, and now I'm back again doing them since 2010. I also have some ones on the internet. I talk to Ritualistic Abuse and MeLabs and the MK Ultra, and there's so many of them that are basically lost. I mean, to talk to them, they've almost, to me, even seem like they're schizo. Now, I may seem schizo to people too, but they're terrified. You know, I know why. At one point in my life, I was that way too. So I really have to look back on that. But people in my group, they'll be in my group for a couple sessions, and then they say, I'm being monitored, I know I am, and I have to stop. And I says, no, don't let them do that to you. You continue to speak out and show that you you know, have the strength to stand in your ground. But they will run and hide all the time. I have people all the time will come to one or two groups, and then they're terrified. A lot of the younger ones that I have in my local group, there's a couple of them, and they are, I think, I can't remember what they call it, but they're accessed via their mind and through dreams, and they're injured all the time. They're hurt. They're in their dreams. They do injuries to them, whether or not they're out of body and they're taking them in super soldier. I'm not positive sure, but I know that they talk about how if I talk, they're going to come and get me. They're going to hurt me. So I just think that it's really important that people realize that the safety is in talking, not in hiding.
Yeah, those remote holographic dream training scenarios technically aren't used really to keep them just quiet. They're actually used to see where the person is psychologically and mentally able to stand up for themselves. I constantly have those, and I'm constantly fighting. I mean, not fighting, but figuring out my scenarios and beating the game, really. And I continue to surprise whoever's running those training scenarios because I'm, like, fearless. I'm just like, ha, 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 what are you going to do to me now, right? Like, I play D&D. I totally got this. Like, the more creatively you think, the more you can just believe that you have the ability to do it, the more you protect yourself in those realms, then all of a sudden you become untouchable. But I think that also means the first step is getting rid of that fear. I mean, I flip off remote viewers all the time. I'm like, hey, guys, what's up? I see you watching me. What up now? Like, cool, I'm eating some breakfast. What do you want? And it's once you kind of get that attitude that they're not going to take you out. You're still part of the, even the after program, they want to see what happens. You're still part of the experiment. They're not going to cut the experiment short. Not unless you start naming names, and even then, it's you're safe. Because
they've got too much invested in you.
Yeah, they want to see how you know, why did you break free? Why are you lucid? Why are you not running and hiding under a rock?
Prevent other people from waking up too.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the thing that occurred to me. You know, if you've been programmed in order to have these certain responses or abilities, it means that perhaps over time and with equivalent levels of experimentation and trials and tribulations, you might be able to deprogram yourself.
Yes, that's right.
I've actually had the only contact that I've had, I was never abducted by aliens. I've always been a contactee where I've willingly been on ship going like, what's up, guys? How's it going? And they've helped me reprogram implants I've had because I've asked for it. They're like, well, we can't help you unless you ask. You know, it's a free will plant. And I go, please, don't get rid of them. Just change them so I can use them. And they said, sure, go ahead. And yeah, then I'm like, okay, cool. Like, thanks for the help. You know, you ask for help. If you have it, then take it and do everything you can to get out of that mind rat maze they've stuck you in.
Now, when you see people who...
Oh, go ahead,
Minnie. Could I please just say one thing?
Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
It's been a long time indeed.
But I'm here now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. This is the Super Soldier Roundtable Discussion. We've got Melinda, the abductee, Lorraine Fenton, the organizer of the Super Soldier Summit, available at supersoldiersummit.com. Just making sure to get a plug in there, will you?
And thank you.
And we have Niara Easley, who's a talking about electronic warfare and UFOs and trauma-based mind control. Misha Johnson was born into a kind of a mind control family. And Alara, who's kind of born into a super soldier program, one of the new breed. And also, I wanted to reiterate a point that Douglas Dietrich made on the show previous, is that military will often name things the opposite of what they really are. So they'll name a giant, massive tank a mouse, or they'll make a really tiny little tank and call it a Goliath. And call a super soldier a super soldier, not because they're necessarily super people or what have you, but because they're very, very damaged. Is that about right?
Yeah.
Who wants to grab that one?
Well, let's go on from that point, because we wanted to talk about families. What does this do to families? Does anybody want to jump in there?
I can. That's hard. Growing up, I'm pretty sure my mom had her memory wiped a whole lot because she constantly forgot us places and wasn't really there, I guess. So I kind of grew up in this non-family. My dad was taken away from the family very young, divorce, you know, for reasons that really not even my mom can tell me. And it was just kind of always hectic. Like, my sister and I were always in survival mode. And I think that was a way to have me latch onto my handler, whoever that was at the time that was doing mission operations with me, to see them as a secure, stable force in my life. So I felt very connected to that person and want to do things for them because my mom couldn't care less what we did. She just was worried about trying to get food on the table and was working all the time. But I recently did talk to my father, and he said, I'm really sorry that they picked you up for the projects. You know, 30 years later, I'm telling him about this, and he knows exactly what I'm talking about when I've only been in contact with him for the last maybe 4 years. And the first time I brought it up was last year. And he said, yeah, he goes, I'm not surprised. You are my only daughter. He goes, but, you know, I'm really, really sorry that you had to go through all that. So, for me, it is in my family. I don't know my grandfather because he died, I think, about 15, 20 years ago. So, we can't ask him about it, but I'm pretty sure that extended back to him as well.
Might I offer a suggestion that perhaps the only families that are involved in these type of programs are not loving, caring, kind, helpful nuclear families in the conventional sense, and they're predominantly dysfunctional?
In my case, I can say yes, definitely very dysfunctional, to the point that my sister and I joke about it.
Yes. I would say yes.
Yeah.
So in order to get a child into a different situation without them reacting too badly, because you know when you take kids to the first day of school, they don't want to leave you because they love you and they need you. Maybe they get rid of that element so that you can pose as the new savior.
Like, "you're special" was used a lot. Like, no, you're we appreciate you. It's almost like it was this weird reverse psychology thing where it's like, oh, well, you know, your parents just don't know what they're missing. You know, we appreciate what you can do and you're very special. And I'm like, oh, I hate that word. Like, it still rankles me some days. But they're like, you're gifted. You know, it was one of those kind of things. Like, oh, I don't know. It's just, yeah, I can just see the BS of it now looking back on it. But as a little kid, you don't know any better. You know, your mom's ignoring you, and these people think you're awesome. Who are you going to like better at this point? Who are you going to feel more supported by?
So. Which would lead me to believe that the people running these programs are psychotic people with no conscience. If they're willing to abuse and manipulate children to that extent, it doesn't leave a whole lot of options for any other personality types to be involved in these programs, does it?
I've never run across anybody that could tell me that these people are caring, loving, normal people. Everywhere I turn, their handlers, the people they've been involved with, anybody, the satanic ritual abuse, anything that's happened to them, it's all happened from very psychotic people doing this. I don't know where they come from because I try not to know people like that. You know, it's like, are your best friends like that? No, not at all. And so how did they wrangle these people? You know, I'm still trying to figure that out.
What if they have two subsets of dysfunctional families, one to produce psychopaths to recruit to run these horrible programs, and one to produce victims to induct into the programs to be experimented upon?
That's extremely insightful, and somebody else grabbed that one.
Yeah, I'd like to answer that, and I'm not positive. I haven't found out for sure, but this is Misha, and, you know, I was born in 49, okay, so five of my siblings died before I was born in very odd ways, and so I never really figured out what was going on with it. However, my father on his deathbed actually did make a confession that he had to turn me over to the projects because they'd already killed my others and they're gone. Now he said they're gone and they're killed. He didn't say that they were all dead. So, and we as a family have never been able to find their birth certificate, their death certificates. So I'm not even sure that the missing siblings that I had are not already in the program. They're really diabolical. I mean, if they convince this family that they're going to lose all their kids if they don't finally just give one completely over without any reservation at all, then and that's all I can figure out that happened.
That would be a way to...
He apologized and said he was sorry, and, you know, he would go to his death feeling.
But it occurs to me that if you wanted to create a family where the children can be preyed upon, it would make sense to prey upon the parents of the family first, and they will pass that down to their children just by the way they get raised.
Yes. My father was definitely preyed upon, totally. I mean, he had... and we always thought it was just abuse, but he had horrible, horrifying things happen to him as a child that he told my mother. And I look back on it, had to been abuse. He also learned how to be a magician, and so he could do hypnosis and all of those things. He had a magic show, so he could take the kids on the road without anybody thinking anything. I'm not saying my father was a saint, but I do forgive him. But I know he was mind control. That's why he did what he did to all of us.
Okay. Now, another thing that occurred to me, I believe, Alara, you were talking about how you responding to these programs as though they're a game, and you just simply have an attitude switch and you're able to control the situation much better. And it reminded me of when I was a boy, there was this computer game named, what was it called, Doom, I think? And there's certain, it's like a first-person shooter and you're shooting demons and stuff like that. It scared the heck out of me as a kid playing it. And but it had this cheat code for God mode. What was it? IDDQD. And I remember this one time I was having a dream and it was really scaring me. And then I typed in the cheat code in my dream and nothing could hurt me, just like in the game. And ever since then, I've never had a dream that was scary or damaging to me, or wake up in a cold sweat, because whenever I get into those situations, I've got God mode available for me, kind of thing.
Right, and that's the creative use of being able to take your environment, video games was the worst idea ever for our new generation. I'm like, that's how we get out of these programs, because it helps you think outside the box and go, once you become just lucid enough to realize it's not real, then you can use these kind of codes. I've done kind of the same thing where I was like, cut, and we're done. I'm not dealing with this. Every time I see zombies, I just turn into a movie. I'm like, nope, not playing with the zombie game. I quit. And yeah, that's helpful. It's been very, very helpful. But, you know, 4 years ago, I was a mess. I was a wreck. I could barely stand up for myself. I had people in my life that took it every chance they could to cut me down and take me out of my power. And there just comes a point we have to get pissed off enough to go, I don't want to take this anymore. And it was very painful, but it was part of my awakening experience. And that was before I knew anything was going on. Even though I was having contact with ETs at the time, it was still a year of me trying to figure out that I was able to take care of myself and function before they dumped this whole military black ops memory stuff back on me. And then I was like, what is going on? But at that point, luckily, I'd learned the skills to cope so that I could to get through this all and then try to, you know, at this point now be able to laugh about it. But it doesn't mean I don't take it seriously.
Hmm. Now, also, the what was I going to say? There's two types of these people, and again, we seem to be split into group. Like, there's the abusers and the abused, and then within the abused, there's the subcategories of the healers, the ones who actually manage to either self-medicate or meditate or in otherwise develop and deprogram themselves from these kind of trauma programs. What is it that separates you ladies from perhaps other people who have participated in the programs who have not been able to get over it, start dealing with it, learn how to laugh again and that kind of thing?
Well, one of the things, if I can chime in there, one of the things that really helped me was I've been a spiritual person from the cradle up. And, you know, this is going to sound kind of unusual, but as I've peeled back the layers around my healing process, I have been left with, I don't know how to say this, I was left with the kind of the fact that I'm one of Dolores Cannon's volunteer souls, like an ET soul that decided to take on a human lifetime. And the way that I have come to understand it, and I've put this together with hypnosis session help from Mary Rodwell, is that I actually took on this lifetime because I wanted to help my people get information about what it's like to be an individual human on planet Earth under extraordinarily difficult circumstances. So I was born into a family that imprinted me with the vibration of abuse, and therefore I would attract, you know, being in a program. And some of the things I'm hearing now make me wonder, you know, if one or both of my parents were involved with this, because my dad was in the Army. He was in World War II. And so anyway, this is what I've come to feel. And, you know, I don't have a huge investment in people believing this. You know, it's just been part of my own process to try to come to an understanding of this. But the more I've looked and the more I've peeled around the layers away around my own healing, that's what it looks like. And so it's kind of like they need information about what it's like for individual humans down here. And so that's what I've been providing for them, but not in any sinister sense of the word, just more of a, how do I want to put it? It's just information gathering. And then what I remembered from the Mary Rodwell session was being taken on the ship and put into a tube that, when they turned on this glass tube, I'd be in there, and I'd be in there in my astral body. So they'd put me in the tube, and they'd turn it on, and sound and light waves would start bouncing back and forth on the inside of this round glass tube. And it would pass through my astral body, and it would upload all my experience about what it is to be an Earth human into the holographic systems of their ship. And, you know, again, I don't have any investment in anybody telling, you know, thinking that that's for real. It's just my private feeling that that's what's been going on. But
now, you mentioned that you've been pulling back layers through your own experiences and that kind of thing. Do you feel that there's still many, many more layers to peel back, or have you kind of come to the end of the onion?
Well, I wish that I could say that I'd come to the end of the onion, but I'm not sure that I have. Every time I think that I'm completely better, I bump into a place where I'm not. You know, where I'm still angry, where I'm still wounded. And it's like, you know, it's like this. It's like, you know, for a normal human being on planet Earth, you're born into a family, and, you know, your family, because of their particular problems or neuroses, they kind of dump a bunch of programming on you that affects you later on in your life. Well, people like ourselves, we have an extra dose of programming that's even more intense and more insidious than what we get from family. So
now, unfortunately, we're coming to break. You wonder how exhausting it must be, wondering whether or not you'll ever get over the experience. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment here of the Super Soldier Roundtable discussion. These lovely ladies will be at the Super Soldier Summit soon. And I think it's supersoldiersummit.com
Vinny, if it's okay with you, I'd like to just give everybody a heads up. It's really important that everybody buy their tickets now and reserve their rooms. Next week, the room price goes back up to normal, so you've got to do it now. It's vital that I know that we've got a following at this event, and buying your tickets early will really help out. And there's going to be so many people there that are involved in this. You're going to get the history of mind control. You're going to get the history of the super soldiers. You're going to get what's going on right now in electronic harassment and mental communication, controlling people through microwaves. And, you know, we have people coming that gosh, you guys, it's absolutely amazing. You've got to look at the lineup. I'm adding more people every day that are going to be speaking. I have people coming to this that just called me and said, look, I really, really want to speak at your conference. It's that important to me. And they're actually paying their way to get there. So, I mean, that's how important this is to people. So we're doing it on a shoestring budget. So please, 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 you know, if you can donate and support the event and you can't be there, please do so. Another thing we're looking into this week is we're possibly, if we can sell enough tickets to pay the hotel fees, we're going to do a live stream. And I'm announcing it here on your show for the first time. So everybody, check the website within the next few days. There might be a button up there that says live stream happening. We have this many more tickets to sell, and we'll just count it down. And as soon as we sell that last ticket ahead of time, we'll do that live stream for everybody all over the world. And it'll be very affordable, but we've really got to sell a certain amount of tickets in order for us to be able to do the live stream. So everybody, if you're on the West Coast, if you're even on the East Coast of America, and you can get to this, please do. It's not that expensive. It's $100 for the whole weekend. The rooms are very inexpensive, and flying to Vegas from LA is like $150. You can drive there for $120. I mean, it's an amazingly cheap event, and I did that on purpose so everybody could get there from all over the United States. So I really hope you can join us. That's supersoldiersummit.com. Check out the people speaking on the website, and there are going to be a lot of surprise guests there. I mean, a lot. I've already got four that I can't mention their names, but people are just going to be blown away. So really, if you can get there, this is the event of the year as far as this type of thing goes, with conspiracy, super soldiers, aliens, the whole bit. This is the one that if you're going to make it to this one. There you go. So supersoldiersummit.com.
Okay. The show's kind of like a bathtub. Doesn't work very well without a plug, I found.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Now, in terms of where we want to wrap up, Alara, you had an interesting point that you made over the break about why it's actually important to get angry. You know, you called it the divine masculine. Could you elucidate?
I just got finished going to Pennsylvania for the Free Your Mind conference too, and a lot of great things got brought up. And one of those was that, just very briefly, is that there's this programming that's not just the left brain, you got to listen to your government and do what they say, but the right brain, it's the New Age, the very dangerous part of the New Age movement, which is, just roll over and let everything happen. Yes, there's a point of nonviolence and feeling and oneness and being kind, but when push comes to shove, you should defend yourself, and that's what the divine masculine embodies, is that, you know, once you have healed yourself, stand up for what you believe in and don't let this to continue anymore. Don't stand by and watch as other people get hurt by this. Stand up and say something, because the more truth you speak, the more you awaken people to what's actually going on around them, the more collectively together we can, fight back just on a consciousness level of looking at what's really, really happening instead of just, let's just believe all the lies we're being fed. And I think that's why it's really important to have conferences like this, like the Super Soldier Conference. You know, once people see what this is, and when they come to these conferences, you're going to understand what's actually going on. And so I'm really excited for the Super Soldier Summit, because not only are we going to see the history of it, people who have been involved in this and researching it, and people have come out the other side, you know, and it's very, just to know what's going on. I mean, this stuff's atrocious. It pisses me off. Tell you what, You know, part of me wanted to sit back and be like, oh, what can I do? I'm not going to talk about this anymore. You know, I don't want to deal with the people that, you know, make things up on the internet about me. But then a part of me rebelled so atrociously against that because it's like, well, screw them. Like, I'm going to do something and say what I'm going to say, and I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care if anybody believes me, but I'm going to make sure I'm going to speak my truth because this is wrong on a soul level as a being coming from another place to experience this life on Earth. This is bullshit. And, you know, it needs to stop. And I think that's what this whole awakening thing needs to happen, is that people need to understand that these are atrocious acts being done by humans to other humans. And we cannot let this continue, or we're just going to continue to be slaves here. Like, we need to actually work together and make a difference. You can't just sit back and wait for somebody to come save you. We're not going to be, all of a sudden one day, everything's going to be happy and nice. No, we have to save ourselves, and we have to do it together. And we have to stop putting up with all of this. So
that's right.
Sorry. That's my rant.
it's very well taken. And in fact, I was just reading a message board, the Vinnie Eastwood Show Radio Alliance, and there's a comment in there by Clint Richardson saying that peaceful, non-violent, non-compliance doesn't work. You know, name a system in nature, whether it's bears, amoebas, or white blood cells, or whatever, that doesn't commit any violence and winds up being successful. It just doesn't happen. But what I'm conscious of is that it's not necessarily about violence when you've got a entire spectrum of things that are wrong. There's many, many places where basically violence will only do the trick. You know, if some scumbag has got a gun on your family or something like that, you're not going to talk him out of it. He's a psychopath.
That's not violence. Right? That's not violence. That's force. And this, oh my God. Okay. I hope when this video comes out, I'll post it everywhere. But the violence is the act of hurting somebody else at the expense of, you don't care what's happening to them. Force is standing up and drawing that line in the sand saying, I'm not going to take it anymore. And a good point that was brought up was that, you know, when teachers in school go, oh, I don't care, it doesn't matter who started it, you're both in trouble. No, you know what? It does matter who started it. It does, because one person's a bully and one person tried to stop that bully. If the bully in the first place didn't try to harm somebody else, there would be nothing, there would be no violence whatsoever. Violence is the act of actively choosing to harm somebody else without any care of consequence. Force is saying, I'm not going to take it anymore. And that's not violence at all. And I think that's been completely misconstrued throughout this whole thing as part of the global mind control of these different movements that are happening.
You're absolutely right. It didn't occur to me until you said it.
And there you go.
That's the obfuscation of your own resistance, right? Have you noticed that anybody starts to do anything good, and all these names and obfuscations of meaning start to come up in order to muddy the waters and demonize you and turn you into a bad person?
Exactly, and that's why these conferences are so important, because these concepts that people just don't even realize are out there. You know, there's a way to get out of this. There's a way to see the truth of the matter and go, this is what's being done. And that's why the Super Soldier Summit that's coming up, awesome. Because now we're not even just dealing with the normal obfuscation of, you know, media, but the active screwing with people's minds that did not ask for this. You know, we're bringing that to light, sharing our stories and going, look, this is what happens. And if it's happened to you, there's a way out. We can actually live productive lives and be happy. And, you know, to those of us who've been in the program, yeah, there's a point where I thought I'd never be happy in my life, ever, until I met people like this that showed me that, yes, you can find a better place within yourself, you know, and that coming together for healing is really, really important.
All right. Well, speaking of coming together, we only have about a minute left together. So go round and a couple of sentences each, really, I think it might be fair. Melinda, are you there? Hello? Okay, she's not there. What about Misha?
Yes, I'm here. I just say everybody should go to the Soldier Summit. They need to learn really what is going on and what has been going on for, you know, since the 40s probably. But certainly in the 60s and 70s and on since then. So we need to stand up and be heard. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. Niara?
Yeah, I would second a lot of what Misha said. People really need to understand this is real. They need to understand the research and the mechanics behind it. It's the only way to stop it. It's why I went public. I just, you know, I had a startling thought occur to me when I was trying not to go public. I just thought, you know, my silence makes me an accessory to this. And that was an absolutely intolerable thought, and that was about the time I started going public.
Lorian?
Well, everyone, I just want to thank you, Vinny, for having us on today. And ladies, you were wonderful as usual. I love you all for doing this for me. And the Super Soldiers Summit is actually called Super Soldiers and Mind Control Summit 2. And you can find out much more about it and buy your ticket, make your hotel reservation very soon at supersoldierssummit.com, and you will be blown away. We have some amazing people coming to this.
Okay, that's pretty much all she wrote. Unfortunately, we don't have any more time. Thank you, ladies. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vinny.
Thank you, Vinny.
All right, we'll see you again, and may the healing begin. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to The Vinny Eastwood Show. Thank you very much for doing so. This is an entirely listener-supported show. If you can subscribe for a couple of dollars a month or make a donation, it'd be very much appreciated. We'll see you again sometime. Mm-hmm.